In an alternative universe, I'd actually be a movie reviewer. I've watched a lot of movies. I think I have a unique eye, a unique ear, and a unique mind to be able to criticize and analyze movies, especially good movies, because crap movies I don't really have time for. They kind of put me off. It feels like my brain cells are popping, you know. So I love watching great movies with a great script, a great storyline, an amazing score, brilliant acting, amazing special effects and visuals. So yeah, man, I finally watched the second Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I have to say, ever since the Russo brothers, Joe and Anthony, left the Marvel Cinematic Universe, my expectations have been lowered considerably. So Anthony and Joe are the guys that did like the last couple of Avengers movies, including the two biggest and my two favorite, Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, of which I believe Infinity War is the greatest movie of all time, especially with Thanos, played by Josh Brolin. Brilliant, brilliant movie. So my expectations have gone down. So when the Eternals came out, I was like, okay. The Spider-Man movies that came out were pretty great. Obviously, Joe and Anthony have gone on to work with the Daniels in a movie called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I think that's the title. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Yeah, brilliant, crazy fucking movie. But I recommend you go see it. It's got a very deep theme of family. So much work put into that movie. But I went to go and watch the second Wakanda. And shout out to Ryan Coogler. Just proof again that the greatest human beings are born or were born in 1986. I'm not going to tell you which year I was born, but like the greatest human beings were born in 1986. So Ryan Coogler is 36 years old. He's become a darling of Hollywood. He's made amazing movies, starting with his breakthrough movie, Fruitvale Station, working on Creed, which is a follow-up from the Rocky movies, which he did with Sylvester Stallone. And then he got to do the Black Panther. I think he was the first black director in Hollywood to get such a huge budget. He got a $300 million budget, and he made over $1 billion with Black Panther. And we now know it's an iconic movie with Chadwick Boseman, Angela Bassett, Lupita Nyong'o, and other people as well. Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger. The cool thing is Ryan Coogler has worked with Michael B. Jordan in almost all his movies, which I think is pretty dope. If you look at that, it's similar to Quentin Tarantino, who normally features a couple of the same old guys in some of his movies, similar to Martin Scorsese, who's done a lot of movies with Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, you just find these collaborations where people have become comfortable working with someone because they know how they direct, they know how they think, etc., etc. One of my favorite directors is Christopher Nolan. Normally, all his movies, I think, have Michael Caine, legendary actor. And then he normally uses my favorite movie music designer, score designer, Hans Zimmer, you know, so it's normally a thing. So Ryan Coogler normally works with Michael B. Jordan, and he featured him again in Wakanda Forever. He has a cameo there somewhere, which is pretty dope. It's almost like looking out for your boy, making sure that he always gets a tender whenever you're working. And then he always works with the same score designer, music composer, Ludwig Göransson. Ludwig actually filled in for Hans Zimmer in a movie called Tenet with Denzel Washington's son. Did an amazing job there. I think Ludwig won an Academy Award for the music he did for Black Panther. But Ludwig is amazing, amazing music composer and score designer as well. And it's great to see young guys collaborating in great movies. The movie got me emotional, you know, for various reasons. And I don't know if Ryan Coogler is as smart as I think he is, but he makes sure that he brings through certain themes and topics and ideas in his movies that make you think very deeply. And then obviously he copies and pastes the typical Hollywood story. Bad guy almost wins, good guy at the end kind of has a luck and then beats the bad guy. We saw something similar with James Cameron's Avatar, which for a long time a lot of studios wouldn't approve because they felt it was too green, it was too environmentally friendly. You can't have these organic people living in the bushes and in the villages winning and defeating technology. but eventually it won and the movie became a roaring success. I think it was the first movie to make over $2 billion. It was the highest grossing movie of that time, and it broke the record that he had set back in the day with Titanic. And I remember him joking when people asked, when are you going to make another movie? And he was like, I'll make a movie when the world has enough money to pay me for that movie. But yeah, Avatar 2 is coming out in December as well, and I think a lot of us are excited. Wakanda Forever seems to have very similar themes to James Cameron's Avatar. There are blue people that are of the water, which is similar to Avatar, if you've seen the trailer. The movie got me emotional because some of the themes that have been raised, if you think of the first Black Panther, you've got Killmonger, you've got King T'Challa, played by Chadwick Boseman. And shout out to Chadwick Boseman. May he rest in peace. There were beautiful tributes of him in Wakanda Forever. We don't, just in general life, play enough with silence. And in Wakanda Forever, I don't know if it was Ludwig's music direction or if it was Ryan Coogler or someone else in the team, they made sure that they played with silence, because in the tributes for T'Challa, there is just quiet and wind. It's very, very moving. And there have been so many tributes in the MCU movies. There was a Stan Lee tribute, I think, in one of the Spider-Man movies. Stan Lee is one of the founders of the Marvel Comics and some of the characters. And when he passed away, having featured as a cameo in all of these movies, which was a very deep moment for someone like myself. Obviously, when Tony Stark died in Endgame, I think all of us were fucking crying, you know, in the cinema, if you watch the movie. You know, shout out to Robert Downey Jr. as well, who absolutely murdered Tony Stark, borrowing from Elon Musk, who apparently is the real life Iron Man, absolutely murdered the movie. I remember Johnny Depp playing Captain Jack Sparrow and what he did with that character, you know, taking on some of the rock stars, those elements. So yeah, man. So shout out to Chadwick Boseman. May he rest in peace. And what he did with Black Panther, no one will ever take again. You know, of course, Shuri, who's playing the new Black Panther, the female Black Panther, did an amazing job. But the silence was brilliant. Killmonger, T'Challa, and that theme of Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King, the theme of Robert Sobukwe versus Nelson Mandela, etc., etc. This radical black activist who is saying, it can't just be enough to defend black people. We need to fight other races, in particular white supremacy, that has constantly been oppressing and enslaving our people, who eventually lost at the end, but he lost having touched the heartstrings and the emotions of black Africans and everything that had happened, especially with this commodity of vibranium. If you look at the African continent and all the commodities and minerals that have been stripped and milked of this nation, you know, of this beautiful continent by the West, the Americas, the Britons, the rest of Europe, so to speak, and how Killmonger came in and he was like, no, we need to take these amazing commodities and build an amazing army and create amazing weapons and go and colonize, just as they have, these other nations. So a similar theme comes in now in Wakanda Forever, where we are introduced to an amazing water tribe of the Talokan people and their leader, Kukulkan, you know, and it touches on the mystic or the mythical Aztec Empire. It touches on some of the older Latino tribes and the lost city of Atlantis, etc. You know, there's these sentiments of Mel Gibson's Apocalypto. When you watch them, they got a lot of Spanish actors, Spanish speaking but Latino actors to act. They came up with their own version of Wakanda Forever. They've got their own symbol, you know, something like this, which is pretty dope. Obviously it looks like a bit like Power Rangers. It's more of in time. Very beautiful hand signal. And you've got this nation that has found vibranium as well. And in finding vibranium, this guy speaks about how his people were colonized by the Spaniards. By the way, the Spaniards are the people that colonized the United States of America. You know, that's why, even if you look at the United States today, there are so many Spanish names. Los Angeles, the city of angels, San Francisco, you know, St. Francis. And if you look at the rest of the map, there are so many Spanish names there. And outside of white people that speak English in America, the second most spoken language is Spanish, which obviously goes all the way down to Mexico. And then black Africans come in as the third biggest group in the United States of America. So it was the Spaniards under the leadership of Christopher Columbus that went and colonized. So he speaks about that and how they ended up finding this thing that got them to go undersea and become this powerful nation. And because of the exposure by King T'Challa of vibranium to the world, now the Americans and the rest of Europe were now beginning to mine and look for vibranium everywhere around the world, which had exposed them as a city because they had remained hidden and unseen and protected. Just as Wakanda had been before, this protected, isolated city that no one knew about. But because King T'Challa had opened up the city to the world and spoken about vibranium, now all of a sudden the West, as we know it, and it's the reason why if you look at history, the Europeans actually went to South America, went to North America. It's because they realized there was so much gold there, you know, and they ended up colonizing there so that they could get gold and other commodities and resources. And they enslaved the people, as we know. And obviously they came and they took African people to go and make them slaves there as well. So there's this concept of this king, Kukulkan, who ends up meeting Suri, you know, who is a princess now in Wakanda because her brother has passed on from an unknown illness. Her mom is the queen mother, played by Angela Bassett. And when they meet, you know, this guy explains the history of how our people were enslaved and now they're looking to find this vibranium, you know, that we also have. Because you guys are not the only ones that have vibranium. We have vibranium as well. We've just been quiet about it. In the same way you guys were quiet about it until your brother went and told the whole world about it. When you see this nation of the Talukan people, you also get sentiments of, there's a scene there where the people get lured, the people from the ships get lured into the sea and to their death. And there's Greek mythology around the sirens. You can look that up. And one of the greatest pieces of film that I've seen this year is a piece from a series on Netflix called Love, Death and Robots, you know, of this deaf soldier who falls in love with a siren, or a siren who falls in love with this deaf soldier. Please go check it out. The title is Hibaro. I think it's a Spanish title as well, Hibaro. There's also sentiments of sirens there, and I don't know if it influenced some of the scenery in Wakanda Forever, but it's the greatest piece of film I've seen this year. And shout out to one of my other favorite directors, David Fincher, who's done movies such as Gone Girl with Ben Affleck, who's done Fight Club, which was my favorite movie for the longest time, with Brad Pitt and Edward Norton, who did The Seven Deadly Sins with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. So David Fincher is one of the producers of Love, Death and Robots. And after Black Mirror, also on Netflix, it's my second favorite series of all time. Please go check it out, Love, Death and Robots. But this concept of the sirens, of course, there's the sirens, like I said, Love, Death and Robots, Hibaro. There's also that influence, I think, of Avatar and James Cameron and the water people as well. So they meet and they speak, and he speaks about how my people have been colonized and the commodities, and we were enslaved, and how you guys in Africa, there's a similar story of colonization, commodities being taken. And it's like the West won't stop. Once they find a unique commodity, vibranium in this instance, back then obviously it would be gold, silver, diamonds, etc. This is what they do, and they will not stop. And we need to unite forces and fight against the West. And we need to conquer them. Otherwise, they will not stop. And you get a situation where the Princess Suri disagrees. And what hurts me and got me so emotional in the movie is you end up seeing these two tribes, these two oppressed, liberated tribes that have had to run away and hide from the West, fighting each other. Instead of fighting the West, who it's been proven do not care about other nations. Even the CIA agent who is there involved, he can see that his people of the West will not stop until they get the vibranium. Because that's what they do. That's what the West does. That's what America does. That's what Europe does. And they never stop. And even when they go and they infiltrate certain parts of the Wakanda labs, the Queen Mother forgives them instead of punishing them. Showing the forgiveness of the Africans, of the Latinos, of other oppressed people. I mean, the Aborigines were almost wiped out in Australia. The colonization of the Indian people. Of course. And then obviously the Chinese, who now look like they're trying, beginning to fight back with Xi Jinping and with the collaboration with Russia and BRICS nations. At which point will smaller nations come together and fight the West? Because the West will never stop in their oppression and their pillaging. You get to be exposed, and there's this theme of female leadership with the Queen Mother making emotional decisions, with Suri making emotional decisions and not rational decisions. And it seems like Wakanda just does not have good, strong leaders that can do what is needed. If you look at King T'Chaka and what he does, number one, he killed his own brother and he went and he hid and he lied. And he didn't even bring back Killmonger, who was this boy, his nephew. You know, he was flawed and he lied, and King T'Challa pointed that out. Number two, you've got King T'Challa, who was also a good soul and noble and opened the world to Wakanda, which exposed Wakanda and Vibranium. Then you've got the Queen Mother, who's emotional, who can't make good decisions, who also now is wrapped by emotion about losing her son and her husband. And then you've got Princess Suri, who can't seem to make rational decisions. Things are as clear as day. Here's a nation of people who are opening themselves up to you. This is who we are. Welcome. We'll treat you like one of us, but let's create an alliance. Which luckily towards the end of the movie, they actually do. And it's almost like that BRICS, let's come together and fight the West. You know, but I just got very emotional watching an oppressed people. And we see it everywhere. We see it in Africa. We see it in South Africa, where black South Africans would rather fight their African brothers and sisters from Zimbabwe, from Malawi, from Mozambique, from Eswatini, from Lesotho, instead of fighting the real cause of why there is poverty here. The colonizers and the Europeans that came here to come and steal, to come and take, and came and enforced their systems that today are still oppressing the masses of the black population. So that's why I'm making this video. Please go check it out. An amazing movie. Very well made, brilliant score. It's going to get emotional, especially with Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa and the tribute to him. There's going to be the themes. There's a new character, a young girl, very talented, who is like the rebirth of Tony Stark as a young black girl, which is pretty dope, very intelligent. That's inspiring. There's obviously woman power, which has been a recurring theme in the latest Marvel movies. There's lesbianism, which comes out there, female soldiers, etc. So it was a great ride, brilliant movie. I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to pick out some of the Easter eggs that I may have missed. So yeah, like I said, in a parallel universe, I'd do movie reviews because I believe I am a movie connoisseur. I can challenge people and go head to head, toe to toe on any of your music knowledge. But yeah, man, that's just what I wanted to say. Again, shout out to Ryan Coogler. Shout out to the Marvel Cinematic Universe team. And shout out to everyone who works on these movies. They inspire me. When I think of non-racialism, when I think of non-sexism, when I think of the idea of going cross-border and cross-national in collaborating to create amazing work, I always think of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what it's created. Shout out to X-Men, the X-Men movies as well. And shout out to all collaborative efforts, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's Silicon Valley, even places like Dubai and Hong Kong today. Penuel the Black Pen, man. Wakanda forever. Come on.